It's February. Welcome to Breakpoint.
All right.
I feel like I need a theme song coming into it. I mean, we do. We have
with the cool bass.
But we don't hear that, right?
No.
Only they hear it out there.
Oh well.
But anyway, it's February. It's great. The weather here is terrible, so that's why we're here in the studio. You see, we're all wearing short sleeves, and it's like
logo wear.
Yeah. Finally, he gets the point. Last time I yelled at him after the show saying hello.
Yes, I was too formal last time.
He may have gotten a little bit of a beating, but that's okay. It's all good. We're all here. We're good. So this time around, though, Paul.
Yes.
We're going to do a little bit of Azure, which, of course, as you guys all know, or if you don't know, Azure is near and dear to my heart as being the original cloud guy.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? However, I have to say, in just talking with Paul as he was kind of prepping the magic that he's going to show you guys, and when we were talking about, hey, what are we actually going to do for this month, there were a lot of things in there that I was actually even surprised that Visual Studio can do.
Yeah.
Right? Because a lot of times, especially when, and I'm sure you guys have heard tons of stuff about Windows Azure, and ideally you've come out to an event to see me, or you've tuned into one of our live events, or MVA, or anything like that. But there's always this kind of, you know what, we got to talk about Azure as the platform, and we got to talk about all of its cool things, whatever, and we spend so much time in PowerPoint.
Yep.
And then when it kind of gets to like the Visual Studio part, and it was like, okay, let's show it. It's like boom, 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 couple of clicks, done.
Yep.
So what we thought we would do this month is reverse the entire thing and do Windows Azure from the lens of Visual Studio.
Yep.
A little bit of PowerPoint, I guess, just because.
There's going to be some PowerPoint, but I'm going to try to minimize that as much as possible because, frankly, I want to show you this stuff.
There we
go.
It's
so awesome. It's so
awesome. There we go. And for the record, Paul learned a couple of things while he was doing the prep for this also. So.
You know what? I think back to my days way back when I was in high school, my graduating class, basically my principal basically
so
told me.
So like eons ago, but anyway.
Pretty much, right? But he basically, my high school principal, he basically said the very last time I saw him before I, you know, on the graduation ceremony, Paul, make sure you learn something new every day. Even
there
if it's
go.
Just something small. I've learned some cool stuff here, so.
And for the record, since you're already on it, I do have to say that if you're going to be in this industry, right, like development in general, not specifically talking about cloud or whatever, if you're going to be in development, you have to be kind of wanting to learn something new every day, because then it kind of gets boring after a while, right?
Absolutely.
Code is code at the end if you're not adding on new APIs or you're not adding on new things.
Absolutely.
So anyway, so with that, enough talking. Let's roll. Let's
All
do
right.
this. Let's rock Windows Azure with Visual Studio 2013. Paul?
Okay.
He taught me that move, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, so let's think about what we're going to talk about today, or actually what I want to show you today. We're going to do a quick overview of the Azure portal. A lot of you probably already know this stuff, but for those of you that don't, I think it's actually worthwhile taking a look at this. Because even if you've been to the Azure portal, but you haven't been there lately, there's so much in there now that's so good that can make things so easy for you to develop and build and deploy solutions using our cloud, whether that's in a hybrid manner with your on-premise solutions as well as cloud or even just in the cloud itself. Then we're going to talk about what Visual Studio brings to the process, right? So what is in the Server Explorer that's been added for Visual Studio to allow you to do some of the cool stuff within Windows Azure without having to go to the portal for some of the stuff. So we'll talk about that. Then we're going to talk about using Azure services, right? So how do you actually use the services within Visual Studio? I'm going to show you how to build a website, all that kind of good stuff, and then publish it. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Visual Studio Online. So Visual Studio Online is actually one of the things. It's been around for a little while now in various different brandings. But basically, it started off with Team Foundation Service.
Mm-hmm.
So
which, of course, always screwed me up because then I always get confused service, server, and then it's like, which one's which?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it used to be called Team Foundation Service, which was basically Team Foundation Server in the cloud. And if you know what TFS or Team Foundation Server is, it's a version control management repository as well as an agile planning or waterfall planning tool. It's really, really cool. I'm not going to go too deep into exactly what TFS is. It's more around, hey, it's in the cloud. You can use it today. And then also showing you some of the other services that Visual Studio Online is bringing, such as load testing. So that's kind of cool. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Ooh.
And then finally, I'm going to show a very quick demo around Office 365, which is hosted on top of Windows Azure.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, exactly. So some of the cool stuff within, for example, something that used to be called Visual Studio Light Switch, around how we can actually build HTML web apps using SharePoint as a backend that don't even necessarily have to live in SharePoint, which is kind of cool. So we'll do that. And then finally, we'll talk about how you can get all this stuff. And if you're an MSDN subscriber, Microsoft Solution Developer Network.
Yes.
If you have Visual Studio Ultimate, Premium, or Professional, or Test Pro, you actually get some MSDN benefits. You can actually do a lot of stuff that you may not have even known that you can do today.
And for the record, for those of you guys with MSDN, no credit card required to activate your Windows Azure benefits.
Yeah.
I have to put that out there, because every time we say that, people are like, yeah, but you want my credit card. Uh-uh, no more.
Yeah, it's great. So stay tuned, hold on to your to your chair.
I feel like I need to brace myself.
Yeah, maybe we're overselling it, but you know, that's all good.
Well, listen, at the end of the day, we gotta get through all of this exciting stuff in an hour.
Do it.
Okay. So, bring
all
it.
Right. So, this is the Azure portal. I've already logged in case you're wondering. Not everybody gets my account, obviously. Only I get my account. You see, obviously, your information right here around who you're signed in as. But here are all the services. And as you can see, if you've never been to the Azure portal, or if it's been a long time, like I said before, this may look a whole lot different than it did before. So what we do provide as part of Windows Azure, there's a whole bunch of services that are basically a la carte, right? So one of the things that we like to think about is the fact that, yes, we provide virtual machines, and that's a very big part of what the cloud is for Windows Azure and any sort of cloud offering, but it's so much more. And we add a whole lot of value that way. So websites, so you want to host a website, you're setting up a marketing campaign, you just want to set up your own blog, those types of things. Yeah, absolutely, you can do that. We're going to show you how to build some of these things. Virtual machines, we talked about that already a little bit. You know, it is what you think it is. It's basically a virtual machine running on the cloud, so you don't have to run it in your data center.
You forgot the important part about that one, Windows and Linux.
Well, you're stealing my thunder.
Well, come on. As soon as you say virtual machine, it's just like, well, oh, okay, those are Windows. Windows, Linux, CentOS.
SUSE. Ubuntu.
See, I never know how to say that one, so I kind of leave it up to everyone else to say it.
I say Ubuntu. Some people say Ubuntu. I don't know.
Point is, it's not just Windows.
It's not just Windows, yes. And there's actually so much more. So even things like Oracle, for example, you know, setting up a WebLogic server or, you know, Oracle database. We'll get into that. Then we have things like mobile services. Now, mobile services are great because if you know who I am, you'll know that Windows Phone is near and dear to my heart. But this is actually a really cool offering from Windows Azure that allows you to build backends that really support a mobile solution, right? So it doesn't have to be Windows Phone. It can be Windows Phone, Windows 8, iOS, Android, HTML5, PhoneGap, and now Xamarin as well. Where if you're familiar with Xamarin, it's basically .NET for cross-platform development, so building iPhone apps or Android apps in .NET, for example. All those things are supported for creating a backend for mobile services. And what you get in part of that is things like a push notification server. Mm-hmm. So, you know, push notifications are a huge, huge component of the mobile experience now within the app. So we provide that to you out of the box so that you can actually do this stuff. Beyond that, we also provide things such as, you know, table structures so that you can hold data very, very easily, access control lists, as well as some ways to actually manage some of that data and some of the functionality on the server side using things such as Node.js.
Now, the nice part about mobile services is actually that it's a great entry point into the Azure world because, like, you don't have it. If you're not necessarily comfortable with going in, creating cloud services or creating virtual machines or whatever, or better yet, maybe if you don't actually need it, you know, wherever you are in your development cycle, that's fine. Yep. Start off with mobile services and graduate from there is usually how I, you know, tell it to people. But if you're doing anything cross-platform, like, it's a no-brainer to start off with mobile services.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. And we'll hopefully have some time to show you some of those things as well.
Nice.
I'm going to go quickly through a lot of these other things just because I don't want to spend too much time showing stuff that you can read, but I do want to explain some of the stuff. So cloud services, if you've heard of platform as a service, so virtual machines can be called infrastructure as a service because basically you're taking infrastructure and you're hosting it in the cloud.
Also known as IaaS.
Yeah, IaaS, yeah. So PaaS, platform as a service, is basically don't worry about the virtual machine, push your application into the cloud, so like a website or whatever it is that you're trying to do, or a batch processing, you know, role or whatever that you want to do, push that to the cloud. You focus on making sure that your application is up and running and that it's scalable and all that kind of stuff. We'll worry about the infrastructure. So that's what cloud services are. I'm going to show you a little bit of a trick with websites that you can actually use to scale out that website very, very quickly.
By the way, when he says we'll take care of it for you, he actually means Microsoft, not Paul and I, because, well, we're not sitting there managing servers.
There we go.
So just say, I want to put it out there that it's Microsoft supporting these types of
yes,
things.
Yes, absolutely. Then we have SQL databases. So I talked about platform as a service. Well, SQL database is basically SQL Server as a service. So again, not worrying about the infrastructure. Basically, you can create your table schema, your table sets, stored procedure, whatever it is that you need within your database. You actually push that up to the cloud. We take care of all the rest. So that's really good. Storage is, some people get confused with that in SQL database because they kind of sound the same. Storage is basically data storage, which is table data. So very, very unstructured data. So blob storage, binary large objects. So for example, the virtual machines, the disks, the hard disks for your virtual machines actually exist within table storage, but you can do other things such as hold images or whatever it is that you want to do. So we'll show you a bit of that. HD Insight is the Microsoft implementation or partnership implementation with Hadoop from Apache for big data. So if you want to do some big data number crunching and things like that, that's what HD Insight's all about. Media services. Right now we're recording this, and if you're watching it on demand, basically it's the week after the Olympics in Sochi, Russia. If you watched any of the Olympics online within the US and Canada and a few other countries, so NBC or CBC, for example, you're watching the Olympics via Windows Azure Media Services. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Yeah.
And we're talking like serious, what was it? It was like 200-ish streams simultaneously, about 100 terabytes worth of data.
Yeah, insane.
Global distribution. So like it was crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, well, how did we do this before? But then again, they also found out, I think it was CBC or something like that, was saying that just for the hockey games, there were over 100 million people streaming online. Forget watching on TV. So yeah. You can imagine the type of infrastructure that's actually required to put this stuff together.
Yeah, and I mean, we're finding ourselves more and more in a world where media streaming is becoming more important. Yeah. You'll see in, frankly, media services on Windows Azure, if you got this great next idea about how to stream media, maybe Windows Azure is the right way to go because it's so scalable, and the Olympics sort of showed that.
And for the record, for those of you guys that are watching this on Channel 9, obviously not now because we're live, but when you watch it on demand, Channel 9 is in fact bringing this video to you from Windows Azure.
Very cool. So there you go. Then there's a whole bunch of other services such as Service Bus, so message queuing, things like that. Visual Studio Online is interesting because this is basically an a la carte sort of service section where you can actually add services for your account that are specific to the online component of Visual Studio. It's growing. It's very new to the portal. And I'm actually going to talk about the stuff rather than show it in the portal itself, because I think it's a little easier. Plus, we're actually getting more capabilities as we go. So
nice. That's actually also one of the beauties of this entire thing. Whatever you see today, in about 3 weeks from now, will be that much more awesomer.
Yeah.
And I realize that that's not a word, but point being is that it's always hard for Paul and I to talk and show things about Windows Azure because it's constantly changing.
Yeah, and actually Visual Studio as well. And it's interesting you mentioned that because we're here talking about Visual Studio, we're talking about Azure. Chances are you've at least heard of something called Agile, right?
Yes.
So methodology for delivering software. Well, Microsoft has adopted that, and you may have noticed that our cadence on delivering software solutions has increased. Like even Visual Studio, for example, where it used to be a monolithic release every 2 years, maybe every 1 year, now we're doing quarterly releases. And that has a lot to do with what you're seeing here as well, right? So the ability to be agile means that we can deliver this functionality at a much more quick pace that allows you, as our customers, to really take advantage of that.
Or more importantly, with us doing it, and then the tooling being updated, which is obviously subsequently available to you, then you could be just as agile, and if maybe not necessarily in pushing your stuff out, but certainly getting more features and improving and so on and so forth. So
yeah,
big win from both sides, I guess.
Yeah, two thumbs up. And then we had things like cache, which is exactly what you would imagine, you know, caching data so that it's easier and quicker to get information. And then BizTalk services, so business orchestration, process orchestration. So there used to be something called BizTalk Server, which is still around today on-premise and still going strong. We've actually incorporated that into the cloud as well. So if you have business processes that you want to orchestrate and automate, these are great examples of how you can do that in the cloud. And then we also provide recovery services, so disaster recovery, you know, off-site sort of management of your content and everything else like that. And then networking. So this is actually an important component. I'm not going to dive too much into it, but for those people that are worried about cloud infrastructure and, you know, putting all your data in there, well, the networking component allows you to create VPN, so secure data endpoints or secure networking endpoints, so that the cloud information that you have in there can be basically secured so that only people that you allow into it can actually get into it, and then that can be synchronized to your on-premise sort of solutions as well.
So for all of you guys that have IT people that you work with that basically say, oh no, we can't do Azure, we can't do cloud, we can't, you know, we can't. There's a really good conversation where you can say, well, we can, and we can do it this way.
Exactly. So it's something that's very, very popular with a lot of the customers that I talked to today.
Yeah.
And then we have other things like traffic management and then Active Directory. So getting that in the cloud so that you can do synchronization from your on-premise Active Directory up to the cloud, or just setting up an Active Directory yourself so you can do single sign-on or whatever it is that you want to do.
Cool.
All right, enough.
Oh, so now we can breathe. So now that we've done the tour,
yes,
let's do some demos.
All right, let's do it. So I'm going to go to Visual Studio. And what I want to show you first is the Windows Azure Server Explorer. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make this a little bit bigger. There we go. And what you see here is a Server Explorer. It's part of Visual Studio. And the Windows Azure team has obviously partnered with Visual Studio team to actually provide some functionality for developers so that it's easier for them to get access to these services. So whereas, you know, you used to have things like data connections or access to SharePoint and everything else like that, well, we've actually added Windows Azure as part of this. Now, this isn't in of itself completely new, so you may have used some of this stuff already. But one of the things that's actually kind of interesting is the fact that we've made it a whole lot easier for you to use it. So, for example, whereas, you know, when you started up Visual Studio for the first time and you wanted to connect to your Azure services via the Server Explorer, you used to have to download this certificate, a management certificate, and then install that on your machine before you could actually do that, and then you'd have to select that certificate from the process to do that.
Which, for the record, I was never able to figure out how to do.
It's, you're not the only person. I mean, I figured it out, but it took me a long time to do. So, I mean, you're in good company, let's put
it that way.
But yeah, it was tough and it was painful in a lot of ways. So that was, you know, step one to getting this infrastructure sort of set up so that you could be more productive. That's gone now. So literally it's, you know, you sign up, you get into Visual Studio, and then you can sign into your account, and then you're good to go. So for example, if I take a look at this, just wait for this to show up. There we go. So what's happened is, and by the way, if you don't see this sort of look and feel within Visual Studio 2013 on your machine for Windows Azure in the Server Explorer, it's because you don't have the most up-to-date Azure SDK for .NET. So you need to download the SDK for .NET in Azure, so Azure SDK for .NET 2.2. So if you download that, you can download from the Azure site from the download section. Then you can get access to all these things. Because before that, basically, I think all you had was cloud services and SQL databases and maybe websites, or I'm not quite sure. But so as you can see here, we have cloud services, which is that platform as a service component that I told you before. We have mobile services, so that mobile backend that we talked about as well. So you can actually see those things. Service bus, SQL databases, storage, which is your table storage for, you know, blob storage and things like that. Your virtual machines, so any virtual machines that you have, as well as websites. So let's actually take a look at websites. Now it's just refreshing it. Aha. So what it's seeing here is saying, okay, well, I need to find out what your account is. So if you don't have an Azure account, obviously you can't sign into this stuff. So what you need to do is, first off, you know, sign up for an Azure account if you don't have one. If you do have one and you've signed up, use that account to log in here. So I'm just going to log in. As you can see here, it's listed out all of these all of these websites that I've actually set up before. So that's all pretty cool. And you know, like we can take a look at these things. For example, I can do a properties and see what the information is about it. So you can see right here, there's a website itself. So I can actually, you know, double click on or select all, and then let's see if we can actually bring it up just for the heck of it. So we'll just go there and boom. So this is probably fairly blank, yep, because I didn't actually put anything into it.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. So we're done, and thank you for coming. No joke.
Look at that, I even finished half an hour early.
Exactly. So what I want to do first is I'm actually going to create a website right from Visual Studio. So whereas you used to have to do this in the portal itself, now you can do it. So I'm going to go right click on the websites, add new site. And as you can see here, it's basically saying, okay, well, what's the site name that you want for it? So, and it's, I'm not sure why. This happened to me once before, too, and I'm not sure. Maybe it's,
let's see. It's naturally, just for fun, the demo gods, just kind of basically saying,
eh. Okay, well, my account and my certificate seem fine.
Maybe you have to sign out and then
yeah,
sign back
I think
in.
That's what I'll do, is I'll sign back in. And nobody look at my keystrokes. Okay, there we go. Okay, that's better. So I got to enter the site name. So we'll call this PJO for my initials, breakpoint.jr, just for the heck of it. Okay, tells you that, you know, this service name is available, so nobody else has used this.
I'm honored, by the way, that you have me in your site name.
You're banished. Okay, so there we go. So now we have the location. So if you've dealt with Azure before, you'll notice that we have a whole bunch of different sort of data centers. And in fact, we've added two new ones. So we've added Japan East and West, which is just this past week, actually.
Yeah, this last week, and then there's more to come, too.
More to come. So the closest one to where we are in Toronto, Canada, we're going to just go to the Eastern US data center. So it's just creating it. So it's actually provisioning the service as we speak. So there we go. It's up. Now that's good. Okay, now let's take a look at this. Now what I want to do is I actually want to create a website locally. So I'm just going to go create file new website. And in this case, we'll just say, you know, an ASP.NET Razor 3 MVC. That's fine. So we'll do that. And we'll call it website. Well, we'll call this Breakpoint just for the heck of it. Just give it a different name than the actual website that I just created, just so you know. So just call this Breakpoint. Click OK. Going to create it from the template. This is just local. I'm not doing anything in the cloud right now. Just wait for it. Okay. It's just creating the project structure from the template, so we'll just wait.
What I love about this part, though, is that you know, obviously we're working with the Explorer right in Visual Studio. Granted, before you started off with the portal, but we know we didn't ever have to go into the portal to start this experience, right? You were just kind of showing people around.
Exactly.
Right? So if you never want to go into the portal to just get started, or at least most of the functionality you can actually do now in Visual Studio, no need to go into the portal anymore, which is actually quite awesome for those people who, you know, for those of you that live in Visual Studio every day, there's no need to go anywhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of like how I live in my Outlook. And every once in a while, I like to veer off to Visual Studio to keep me entertained, but... because, you know, email is only so beautiful. Code, on the other hand.
Okay, that took an inordinate amount of time, unfortunately. But
it's just because you're streaming your desktop at the same time.
Oh, maybe that's it. Okay. So there we go. It's created this. Now, what I can do, actually, is I can right-click on this. And what I can say is I want to publish it, if I can find it. Publish website.
I love this part.
Right? So basically, I can set the connection to...
now you want to import.
Yeah, import. That's what I thought. And then from the subscriptions. And as you can see right here is the PJL Breakpoint JR from my the website that I just created. Click OK.
Now, by the way, actually, for those of you that are portal friendly, that would have been the time where you can actually, you technically could go into the portal, download publish settings, go find it on your computer, blah, blah, blah. Paul did it in a whole of 2 seconds.
Yep.
So. Just saying, it's possible.
Yeah, exactly. So click next. Click next is fine. I don't really care about any of this stuff. You can do a preview if you want to, publish it, and we'll just wait for this.
Okay. Let's all observe the output window
and
very closely.
Yes, so let's take a look at this. It's adding in the access control list, doing all this. that you would maybe have to package it up yourself and then do all this kind of stuff, but it's all right there. So, aha.
Let's and that was all just web deploy, wasn't it? It was just standard.
Yeah, it's just standard stuff, deploy. Right? So there you go.
Boom.
There's the website right there, and it's running in Windows Azure. So nothing too special, but still very, very interesting for you as a developer to publish these things very, very quickly. Now, that's good. But what if I wanted to say, okay, I got this website, but this website's going to be awesome. It's going to be like the next Facebook. I'm going to actually go to the command prompt next because I do want to show you some other stuff. So I'm in, for example, I'm just going to maximize this just to make it easier. We've also added some tooling for the command line. So if those of you that are command line freaks love to do things in the command line, you can do that. So if I just type in Azure here, wait for this to show up. And as you can see, we got some ASCII art. And the cool thing is Scott Hanselman, who is one of the program managers for the Azure team out in Portland, I think he is technically. He's very well known, so if you know him, great. If not, then you probably get to know him at some point. He says that, I love the quote, he says, see, you can see the ASCII art there, so you know we're serious. So that's cool. So what I want to do now is I actually want to show you some interesting things as well. So I can do, say, Azure, say, for example, account list. So I can find out all the information about my account. Just wait for this to show up. Again, it's a little slow because I'm recording at the same time. So you get this information. So the way this works is this Azure command line, say basically it's basically Azure noun verb. Basically it's the way it works, right? So you say Azure something and then do something to it. So for example, I could say Azure site list. We'll wait for this to show up. It's getting location sites. So there's all the various different sites that you saw that was in the Server Explorer as well. But I can even do something cool like this. So I could say Azure site list and then dash dash JSON, which means that I can actually output this into a JSON thing as well. So it allows you to do some interesting things around some programmatability there. So that's cool.
We actually have a comment on the chat.
Yes.
Specifically to that saying, hey, that's so cool. Didn't know there was a command line.
Yeah, there is. So right,
that's like
cool.
one of the features of integration, so to speak, and you can basically script that baby to do whatever you want. I mean, it's just PowerShell, right?
Yep. So I'm going to Azure site create PJL breakpoint JR2. Let's see if that works.
I feel like we should be doing the Jeopardy music. I don't know
we
if
could.
We're allowed, but
so. What I showed you before, as far as creating it, you can do the same thing. So it's, again, asking me which data center I want to be in. We'll say 5 again. There we go.
And again, you see this is an interactive console, but mm-hmm. technically we could have passed all those parameters in, and then it would just create it silently.
Yep, so Azure Site
really
List.
Works really well for if you wanted to build it into continuous integration servers, or if you wanted to manually do nightly builds or whatever it is.
Yep.
You can do all that crazy stuff just by scripting it.
Yep, and as you can see, it's running. This one I just created in the command line there, so that's kind of cool, right? All right, so I showed you some cool stuff there, and hopefully we can get back to another website and create it into a platform as a service option there as well. But what I did want to show you now is Visual Studio Online. So one of the cool things about Visual Studio is that we've actually adopted the cloud just like many of the other platforms and products that Microsoft offers, including things like Office 365. So the first thing that you'll notice is if you go to visualstudio.com and you log in with a Microsoft account, you can actually get your own very own Team Foundation server set up in the cloud free for up to 5 users. And if you need more than that, you can use basically pay as you go or pay per user, I should say, or you can do things such as if you have an MSDN subscription, you can get more from that as well. So that's pretty cool. And as you can see, it's just like TFS that you would have otherwise. So if I go to, for example, my Prime Calculator project here, there's not a whole lot in this because this is just something I created on my own, but you can create, your own dashboard. You can take a look at the code associated with it. In this case, I don't have a whole lot here. It's just literally what I have. And you'll notice something here, like Git. Well, you may not have noticed this before. So if you're actually an open source developer or somebody that uses GitHub or Bitbucket, you're probably very familiar with Git. Just recently, over the past year, TFS has adopted Git as a new source code control option for you to deliver your software projects. So when you create a new project, you can just choose to use Team Foundation Server Version Control, which is centralized, or a decentralized solution such as Git. So we've actually entered into an official partnership with the Git Foundation to actually do this. So that's kind of cool, right? So right then and there, you actually have some other things that you can do. Check in, check out. It's basically a Git node, so you can, an endpoint, I should say, so you can, you know, clone it, you can bring it down, locally repository, baseless merges, if that's something that you really want to do, although I don't recommend you do that very often. All those types of things are available to you, so that's pretty cool.
So this would be the time where we stop and reflect and just say, did you just say Git? Yeah, he said Git.
Yeah, we right? are not your father's Microsoft, so, yeah. Yeah, we are a much, much happier, friendlier group of people.
Right. Now, of course, there is also one hidden option in here, which is actually kind of cool. When you select your source controller, where you get into that, you can actually select, and this has thrown me off for so many times. There's GitHub,
yes.
And then there's local Git, mm-hmm. but it's not local to your computer. It's local to your Azure instance.
Yeah. So, well, I mean,
think about it. It's not on your machine.
So no, the whole thing about Git is the fact that you can have local repositories, you can bring it all down, you can do whatever you want, right? So a lot of people that do very distributed teams, so that's why it's good for open source, right?
Right.
So like if you're building a Linux kernel or something like that, obviously there's contributors from all over the place.
That'd actually be really awesome if you did that in Visual Studio. So if anyone is actually building that in Visual Studio, please let us know.
Yeah, exactly, right? So all of that is actually available to you, so you can do that. And then, you know, you can upload that, you know, you commit it to your Git node, in this case Visual Studio or Visual Studio Online or TFS Online, and then you're good to go. So that's cool. Now what I also want to do is I want to talk a little bit about load testing. So load testing is something that probably everybody here is familiar with to some extent, and if you're not, it's probably easy to understand what I'm thinking about, right? Load testing is taking your solution and testing to see if it works under a lot of users, right? Visual Studio Ultimate is a product that we offer for, which is a top tier product for Visual Studio, allows you to do load testing. The problem with that, or not so much the problem, but the complexity involved with that is the fact that if you want to do real load testing, sometimes you have to distribute that load across multiple different computers within your organization to do it. Because if, you know, you can only do a certain number of virtual users that are hitting a website on one PC, so you have like five or six, for example. The other problem is when you actually spin up that rig or the test infrastructure to do that load test, you might be inundating your network, which means that you have to compartmentalize or isolate the network that the virtual users are on. Otherwise, people across the organization that are on the network may not be able to get their email because there's so much bandwidth being taken up by the virtual users. That's typically how it's been done in the past, right? But what we've decided to do is we felt that this was actually something that was worthwhile thinking about when you actually deliver load testing, because you can do it as a service, right? So create your load test and then push the load testing actually to the cloud so that we provision basically the infrastructure so that you can actually do your load test from the cloud into your own sort of thing. So I'm actually going to create a new project. So I'm going to go File, Close Solution, and I'm going to go to File, New, Project. And I'm going to go to the test area right here. And as you can see here, we have Code UI test, unit test project, and the web performance and load test. So I'm going to click OK. Just wait for this to show up. OK. And basically, so it's creating a web test. So I'm actually going to go to record the web test itself. So I'm not going to go details into how you do a load test specifically. If you want, you can find out some information about that. Just wait for this to show up. And we've got to make sure that the test recorder is enabled. So I'll just go to Manage Add-ons. Let's see here. The web test recorder is disabled, so we'll enable it. That's fine. And we'll exit that, and we'll start that again just to make sure. Try that again. There we go. So I'm going to go to, say, for example, HTTP visualstudio.com. And we'll go to products, for example, and go to Ultimate with MSDN, which is the product that we're using to do all this, just for the heck of it. And we'll scroll all the way down to the very bottom. There we go. and we'll say buy now. So this would be, for example, you want to, you know, buy Visual Studio Ultimate retail if you want to. And then basically what we'll do is we'll stop the recording there. Nothing too well. So what we've done is we've actually created the web test. So that's basically telling us the steps that we need to do. And it's recorded all that. Now it's gonna detect all the parameters. So we'll just wait for this dog to show up.
I found your missing menu.
What happened to it?
It's under the project menu, which only comes alive when you start a web project, not a website.
See, I knew I did that wrong. So we'll do that afterwards.
You learn something new even when you're doing it live.
Did somebody provide that information?
The internet.
The internet, thank you, internet. So we're just waiting for this to finish. It's basically detecting dynamic parameters, which is basically if you entered in information that was dynamic, for example, or whatever, it can automatically find that. Not really important to this, but I'm just explaining it to you because you see this, you know, dialog box on the screen. We'll wait for this to finish. Okay. It's telling me to bind to all these things. That's fine. Okay, whatever. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to right-click on this to create a load test. So add load test. Okay. And basically, we're going to create the scenario and all that. So I'll just go next. Fine, yeah, whatever. It doesn't really matter. I'm going to say a step load of, you know, start with 10 virtual users. Step duration is 10 seconds. And then step up the user count by 10 every time. And we'll say, for example, we'll say a maximum of 100 users. And then basically the text mix model, don't worry about that. We can basically choose the network. For whatever reason, it's slow to refresh the screen because of the recording. But basically, you could actually simulate various different types of networks, such as LAN or a modem or a 3G network, for example. Oh, there we go. Network mix. And then we have different sort of browsers and everything else like that. So I can add a few, for example, Chrome, Firefox, Firefox 3, Internet Explorer. And then, for example, I could add a new one here and say that this is going to be Safari for iPhone, for example. Okay.
It's almost like it's reading your mind. You're just pressing add, and it keeps choosing new ones.
Yeah, and it basically goes through the list, right? And you can choose, and then you can set up the distribution as well. Again, not really important because this is stuff that you can read about. And then we can say set up the duration. We'll say this is going to be for 1 minute because I really don't want this to run long. So we'll click on that. But before we actually run this test, I'm actually going to go to double click on the local.test settings. It's going to open it up. And this is new. So whereas, you know, you used to do this local test or a test controller, now we can actually run these tests on Team Foundation service. So this is part of the Visual Studio Online.
Visual Studio Online.
Yeah, right. So this is actually really, really cool because, again, you don't have to set up your own test rig internally within your organization if you don't want to make this happen. So click Next. You know, I'll just apply this because that's basically all I needed to do. And now I can run it. So I'm going to run this test.
Okay, so this is where the real magic comes in now.
Yeah.
Right, because it's going to go in and it's going to provision all those load test harnesses and all that kind of good stuff. Okay. Whereas, who knows how long you would have actually spent to do that beforehand. I remember back in the day. I always do this. Every episode, somehow, I need to have a back in the day moment.
Yep.
Just because every time you and Adam before boggle my mind as to how far we've come in a relatively short time, whereby I no longer have to sit there and order these environments ahead of time. And before I was doing it through the portal, and now we're doing it in Visual Studio, which just made the entire process that much faster.
Exactly.
Mind-boggling.
Yeah, I love it. It's amazing. So we'll let this go because it's actually provisioning the load test environment right now. So Azure is actually spinning up in virtual machines and services to actually help us with this. So we're just going to wait for this to go. And in the meantime, we'll let this run, and then we'll find it a little bit later, and then we'll see. But what I do want to do is, so I'm actually going to create a new instance of Visual Studio 2013 because we're going to move on to Office 365. And this is kind of cool because it allows us to really sort of show off some of the things that we're doing about Office in the cloud as well. So this is a very, very quick demo. So anyways, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to File, New Project. And what you'll see here, if I go to Office SharePoint, is you'll see a cloud business app. So this is kind of cool, right? So what you can do is you can create a light switch app. This is basically a light switch app with an HTML client. So I'm going to click OK. And again, it's going to do whatever it needs to do. It's asking me, where am I actually going to use my my SharePoint app? So this is basically where it's going to bootstrap the app to. So as you can see right here, I have my my own sort of SharePoint environment that I've created as part of MSDN. So in MSDN, you get an Office 365 developer subscription as well as part of that, which is part of the value add. And so I've already set that up, and I'm going to say, yeah, that's the SharePoint site that I actually want to keep. So we'll just let this go. It's going to create the projects from the template itself. So in the meantime, what we're going to do just to sort of prep up this demo is I'm going to say that basically what we want to do is we want to set up an OData feed from something. So I'm actually going to go to, say, for example, if I go to, I'll just take this browser. If I say OData Northwind, and we'll do a Bing search because that's everybody's favorite search engine. Wait for this to show up. And as you can see, I've already been there.
Of course.
So,
and of course, it has to be Northwind.
Well, Northwind naturally, right? So here's the Northwind data service right here. So I'm just going to double click, or not double click, but copy and paste that. Let's see if our project is set up. Okay, good. Wait for this to finish up.
Maybe we should kill the other Visual Studio.
We can. I don't think that's going to make much of a difference, but we'll find out.
By the way, I'd love to hear how many of you guys are actually using OData in your applications. It's like, it seems to be, and obviously, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to be like the latest, greatest thing that everyone is doing, either publishing data as OData or actually building apps to consume OData.
Yeah.
You know, and it just, especially for developers, just makes it so easy to work with data.
Absolutely.
Right? Most of the cities now, I know City of Toronto has a whole bunch of data feeds. I know the City of Edmonton, a couple in Manitoba.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of stuff that you can actually just go in and use and really create fascinating things with. And what's boggled my mind last time I went in and played around with it is Visual Studio support for OData has really come up a lot more, whereas before you kind of needed all these plugins and that, and now you can just go in and use as you please.
Exactly. It's come a long way for sure. Okay, hopefully we're good to go here. Okay. It's going to come up with, so then we start with data. So this is basically the wizard, if you want to call it that, for actually setting up things. So we could create a new table or we can attach to a data source. So I'm just going to click on attach to data source. And it's really going slow here. Wait for this to show up. There we go. OData service, that's what we'll pick. And then it's going to ask me the URL for the OData service. So what's the endpoint? So there we go. And we'll say there's no authentication because obviously I got to it right from the web and didn't have to enter in a password. So we'll just say, yeah, that's fine. It's going to retrieve information about the entities within it. So we'll just double click on there. Expand that, I should say. And just to make this simple, we'll just say customers, and that'll be it. Okay. So as you can tell, this is going to be a very valuable Office web app. But the intent here is just to show you what you can do. So it's importing the data source items, as you can see right there. Okay. Okay, so there we go. That's fine. And then the HTML client version. So there's a server and an HTML client component of this, as you can see right here. So it's basically a list-based item app, which is very, very common within SharePoint. So what I want to do now is I'm going to right-click on the HTML client. And I'm going to add a screen right here. So you have to add a screen as a default screen. In this case, we'll say a view details screen, for example, or a browse data screen. You know, we'll just say with the browse data screen. Click on that. So, okay, so there we go. Now all I got to do is start debugging it. And it's going to bootstrap this project into SharePoint in the cloud, so Office 365, built on Azure, of course. And then there's your application, and then you can publish that if you want to. Connect to SharePoint, so it's asking me for my credentials. So I'm just going to enter in my credentials.
Now, what's crazy about this whole process is if you think about it, in order to have done these types of apps in the past, you either had to go in and sit there and manually design it in SharePoint.
Yeah.
Or if you built something that would actually integrate into SharePoint. Remember so back in the day, remember when you had to go and you had to request a test infrastructure for SharePoint? Most mm-hmm. likely your IT guy said, well, no, you can't have a website because then it's not sandboxed, whatever. Then sandboxing came in and that was better. And then they're like, well, okay, maybe you need your own site collection, blah, 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 blah. Fast forward, X many conversations and days later, here we go, now you can test your site. The beauty of it, what this world allows you to do is quite literally just deploy it into a developer environment for SharePoint that ultimately allows you to test all of these things without having to go and provision this ahead of time.
Yep, exactly.
Right? And you did it straight from Visual Studio, which to me is probably the most fascinating part about the entire thing.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to bootstrap yourself into something that is unnatural to your process. You can actually just do it within Visual Studio and debug it and good to go.
Right.
So basically, I had to sign into my SharePoint site, which you can see I'm in now, and it's basically asking me if I want to trust it. Now, one thing that I didn't show you through this, because it would have been wasteful just for your time, is you have to set up your SharePoint site to sideload apps. So that's one thing that I did without showing you. So basically, there's a set of PowerShell scripts that Microsoft makes available for you to allow your site to be sideloadable, I guess you could call it, right?
So as opposed to your apps coming in from the Office store.
Yep, exactly.
So it's a great looking app there.
It is, and there should be a list here. Maybe it's just slow and coming. So we'll just leave that for now, and hopefully it comes back. But the intent here is that fact that you can actually take data from an OData feed or whatever feed that you want, and then you can create your application that way. So it's actually quite simple. So we'll just leave this be for now. And I do want to go to some slides, because I showed you a whole bunch of things already, and what I want to do is talk a little bit about things such as Visual Studio Online a little bit more. So
the best part is that you're saying it like you're asking for permission or an apology. We're developers. We know these things come with PowerPoint. It would not be natural if there was zero PowerPoint.
Yeah, but there's good reason why I'm doing this. It's because to wrap things up and sort of help you understand some of the things that are coming that I wasn't able to show you. So for example, you may not have heard, as part of Visual Studio Online, we're bringing the IDE, so the Integrated Development Environment, to the cloud. So IntelliSense enabled, all sorts of cool stuff to actually do your coding in the cloud, in the browser, and it doesn't matter if you're using IE or Chrome or Firefox or Safari, it'll all work, right? So that's coming. It's not yet available today, but it should be coming in the near future. I don't have any dates for you, but it's coming.
So no more excuses that we don't have access to tools.
Well, the thing is, the scenario that I have is like, I suppose technically some people might want to use this as their primary development environment, which is possible.
Right.
But where this is actually kind of interesting is, say for example, you're on a train home, or you're taking the bus home, or you know, you're on vacation, God forbid. But you know, something happens and you have to fix this one line, and you're the only person that knows how to fix it, for example. You could go on your iPhone, for example, and log into this and do that quick code change, all of a sudden, boom, there you go.
Notice what he did there? He specifically said iPhone to demonstrate multi-platform.
There you go, right? It all works.
There's actually a great comment too on the chat. It's like, this is perfect for people who work on a Surface RT.
Yeah, actually, that's a great point. I never even thought about it, to be honest. So
thank
you for
that.
So
he thinks of the iPhone, but he doesn't think of the Surface RT. Hey, open.
Yes.
We're all open here.
We're not your father's Microsoft. We got slides to get through. Okay, so the other thing, build processes. So, you know, the fact that, you know, you might be doing builds internally and things like that, sometimes builds take a lot of resources. You know, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But if they do, we're actually bringing the build process to the cloud as well. Now, this is coming. I'm not going to deal with the whole lot around this, but you can basically copy the build output to the server, all that kind of stuff, right? The whole point here is that we're actually bringing things that you could consider a service within Visual Studio on-premise and actually pushing it to the cloud so that, you know, you have the flexibility. Want to do it on-premise? Fine, do it on-premise. You know, that's the way it's always been done. You're good to go. But if there is an opportunity for you to go to cloud that you feel is worthwhile and it makes sense for you from a benefit standpoint, you can do that. And then application insights. So this is an exciting thing because this is something that's coming soon as well. But basically, it's an analytics platform that allows you to determine things such as the health of your platform. So how is your application doing, whether it's a web app, desktop app, mobile app, whatever, right? You know, how many crashes per hour or how many crashes are happening. It also tells you usage statistics, right? So, you know, how often is a user on the app, for example? Not a specific user, but an aggregate. Like, on average, do users spend 5 minutes within the app, for example? Or you can even do things and hook things in to allow you to determine, you know, for example, things such as, you know, what parts of the app are users using most? So that you can actually focus some of your efforts and some of your planning around saying, okay, well, we got to beef up this component or whatever it is as well. So it's an analytics platform. It's awesome from what I've seen so far. It's coming. So definitely keep your eyes open for that because I think that'll be very, very interesting. So I'm going to skip over that. There's all sorts of things that are available to you as a customer for Visual Studio Online. So you have, you know, basic, advanced, and exclusive capabilities. I'm not going to go through this in great detail, but this sort of gives you an idea of some of the things that are available. So you can do things a la carte and, you know, use it, you know, charge on a purchase order or via your credit card if you want. But if you use Visual Studio Ultimate, Premium, or Pro, you actually get some of this stuff available to you as well for free. It's just part of the process. So that's one of the other value adds that we're increasing on MSDN as part of your Visual Studio Premium, Ultimate, or Pro subscriptions. Which brings me to the next point around Azure benefits within MSDN. So again, if you have MSDN, you actually have the ability to make use of Azure in the cloud already. So this includes things such as you know, creating a virtual machine for, you know, whatever reason. So whatever I showed you in the cloud, for example, is running off of my my MSDN subscription that I have as an employee, but it's the same thing as you would have as if you had a Ultimate subscription for Visual Studio. So what do you get? Well, you get a whole bunch of things, right? So as a pro, as Visual Studio Pro with MSDN subscriber, you get $50 a month in credits with Windows Azure. If you're a premium subscriber, you get $100 a month with Azure. And then finally, with Ultimate, you get $150. So ultimately, you get all these things. And here's some examples of things that you can, well, here's some, you know, whatever. I'm not going to deal with that. Some examples, just to give you a frame of reference,
there
right?
There we go. Make it simple. Don't go for the
exactly,
blah, blah,
right?
Blah.
So we're going to focus specifically on premium. Okay, so if you had a premium subscription, which gives you $100 per month, you could run 3 virtual machines for 16 hours a day, okay, all month. So that's, and you would get that for free. You could run 80 virtual machines for 20-hour load test, again. So if you wanted to do your load testing but not use Visual Studio Online as a service but actually spin up virtual machines to do that, you could do that.
And you don't need to be a mathematician to figure it out.
Yeah, thank goodness
for that. I was
just
going to say, I'm like, that's a lot of calculations that you had to do to get there, but it's actually quite easy.
Yeah, exactly. And then up to 100 websites with a database associated with it too. So if you, you know, this is actually a good scenario for things such as, like, if you have a marketing department that's asking you to do something, right? I need to spin up a website to do this campaign. Well, yeah, you can do that, right? So that's kind of cool. And Visual Studio.
End here.
Yes. So that's basically it. What I might do while, well, we don't have much time, I guess.
We
do
don't
we?
Have any time.
Any time, okay. So I guess I leave it to you as a as homework to try and set up a PaaS instance from your website. So I'll let you do that.
The good news, though, what we'll do is when we post this video up on Channel 9, mm-hmm. we'll include the links in the description there in terms of where you can actually find really simple tutorials on how to do that.
You got it.
So, I mean, granted, they're not going to be as entertaining as Paul and I are, but...
Naturally.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's why you tune in, right? Otherwise, you can go read this stuff all the time, but it's just not as interesting.
Yeah. Maybe they tune in because it's like stereoscopic vision, because we kind of look the same, right? Maybe not.
But anyway, so, you good? We're done? I feel like I'm just like...
I never have enough time for this stuff, I tell you.
But because there's just so much. There's only so much that you can fit in an hour.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, hopefully you found this interesting and useful. Hope you learned something. Learn something new every day.
There you go.
And I guess the key message that I really want to mention here is that, you know, Visual Studio is more than just your integrated development environment. You know, Azure is becoming a more and more important component to Microsoft, and hopefully you're seeing it as something as valuable for your organization or what you plan to do. Visual Studio can help you with that. So definitely take advantage of it, explore it, sign up for Azure, make use of the capabilities that are coming out in Visual Studio Online, and, you know, test it out. Let us know. Let us know what you think of it, and we'll take it from there.
So I guess the good news is that interestingly enough, our folks online actually want us to keep going. And I'm like, nah, while we would love to, they're going to kick us out of the studio,
yeah,
people.
It's kind not of busy. Like, yeah.
You know, it's not like we can do, it's not like we can do this for hours, because it's not like we have tons of stuff to show you.
Yes.
But the good news is, if there is actually something that you specifically want to see, before we had started the show, or actually it was probably about a couple of weeks now, Paul and I put up a conversation up on LinkedIn. So it's in the Canadian Developer LinkedIn group. And I basically said, hey, what kind of demos would you want to see that we do here, or just in general? And then if it's something that you guys want to specifically see and there isn't a tutorial for, we could probably make one, put it up on Channel 9 for you.
Yep.
If one exists, then we can post a link for you. Point is, there is a conversation that started there. I'm not going to give you the gigantic LinkedIn conversation, but if you go into LinkedIn, you're already a member of the Canadian Developer Connection group on LinkedIn. If you're not, look for the group Canadian Developer Connection, or there's going to be a link at the bottom of the video if you're watching it on demand. Go in there, ask the question, or tweet Pila Bears or Jay Rosenblatt, either one of us. And we're more than happy to show you the goodness and go on for hours if need be. But hey, we love it. So if you love it, we can all love it together. Having said that, gets back to what we were saying before about hugs and anyway.
Yeah.
Before I go down that path again, we're going to cut off now. So point being, thank you so much for joining us online. It was actually a great conversation. Oh, by the way, actually, no, this is a good one. I have to stop for this one.
Yep.
Question says, well, first of all, thank you for the commentary, Jason, on just have more sessions. Maybe we will. Keep in mind, Breakpoint is every month, the last Friday of the month, same time. I'm going to say same bat time, same bat channel.
Yep.
But there's so many superheroes these days. That point is, end of March, same last Friday, tune in, and we're going to do something awesome as well.
Azure Man and Visual Studio Man.
Yeah. The question is, though, of interest, how do you get your apps grouped into your taskbar?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I've asked him this several times.
So this little nice cool thing,
yeah.
This is actually a third-party tool called Bins by 1UP Industries. So I won't go to the website. You can do it. It's literally the number 1UP, all one word, I guess you could call it, 1UP Industries, and it's like a $5 tool, and it's
so people like Paul who like to have a billion and one windows open and then wonder why their machine's running slow,
yeah.
Versus people like me who like to have one or two windows open, and then that way I can stay focused.
But yes,
just saying.
So very quickly before I set up a new web project and I convert, and now we can convert this into a cloud service project.
Boom!
And then what you can do at that point is then publish it to Azure, and then you're good to go.
It only took an hour to figure that out, but
we
have to give you credit where credit is due. You did the thinking while you were demoing some completely different things, so kudos to you.
Well, thank you.
And this is why you tune in, because Paul's just awesome that way, and he can do things like that. Point being, thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next month again, like I said, last Friday of March, same time, 12 p.m. Eastern. Figure that out for whatever time zone you're in. And, of course, as always, always live. If you missed part of the show, which I know some of you guys were mentioning in the chat that you did, of course, it's going to be
on demand
on Channel 9, channel9.msdn.com/blog/breakpoint. Or you could actually just follow CDN Devs on Twitter, and I'll let you know as soon as it's up.
All right.
I'm done my spiel. Okay, see ya.
See you next month.